We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hello and welcome back to another episode on the Virtually Limitless podcast. You guys, I am so excited to have Romina here to not only meet you, but to teach you, to inspire you, to encourage you. This woman is fire. She has had a life experience that is pretty much parallel to nobody else that I've ever met. So I am super excited to have her with us today. With that being said, Romina, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk and to spread the knowledge and help other entrepreneurs and help other people to reach their limitless potential. Why not?
Exactly. That's the name of the game. For everybody that's listening to the Limitless Show today, that is their goal. That is their aim. And that's why we needed to bring you on, because this is what you do for people as well. So for people that don't know you, they don't know that you're not from the US. They don't know that you're actually like an incredible boss, but you started as a kid. Like, this was something that started a long time ago. Can you just give them a glimpse into what your past has really built for your present day today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm Albanian originally. People tell me I have an accent. I don't listen to my accent. So I'm like, no, like, I'm good. But I moved to America at 17 years old by myself. I'm still trying to figure it out if my parents had enough of me. They love my brother more. What happened there? But, you know, they let me move across the ocean. And here we are. It will be 12 years in August 17. I actually celebrate every year. Last year, I ate bacon and I listened to country music. Every year, I do something.
That's my kind of celebration.
Yeah. So every year I do something very different to be more Americanized, if that's a thing. I just have fun with it.
I love it.
But throughout the years, I mean, my American journey has been a roller coaster. To kind of quick it up, 17, moved here, decided to study pharmacy. And then I know I talk too much, so there's no way I could be sitting in a pharmacy room by myself. So I decided to drop out of school and start working sales, and came to find out I'm really good at sales and negotiations because I come from parents running a business and I kind of worked sales for them. Like, since I was a teenager, my dad would be like, you're not going to school tomorrow. You are coming with me because I need you to translate for a business fair, or you need to, you know, come with me and finish this contract, or I need you to do this and that. So I always worked for my monthly allowance, I would call it. Even when I first moved to America, like, my dad would send me like this long emails in Albanian. I have to write it in English and send it to the contractors, like either in Croatia or Egypt, whoever, you know, the companies that he was working with. So I was very involved in the business world at a very young age. I wouldn't necessarily say by choice, but I liked it. It was more like, hey, you want to do this? You got to work for it. So the kind of that attitude and their work ethic was implemented in me at a very young age. So I never got things handed to me. So I know for a fact that I need to work hard on everything. And all that hard work, I would say, kind of went downhill once I decided to get married, because I was young and dumb. A lot of us say that sometimes. But unfortunately, I did end up in an emotionally abusive marriage where everything, I would say, I was dumb, I was stupid, I was this, I was that. So like, my opinion was not taken per counter. And he used to say, he's like, you talk a lot, your opinions are stupid. I'm like, I get paid to talk now, so look at me go. And after I decided to make a leap of faith, my second one, which I say at 23 years old, I kind of press a reset button for my life, because I left whatever I had built in America so far and I moved to Florida. So it was the 17-year-old Romina, but a 2.0 version. And since that, I just haven't looked back at it. I know what my insecurities are. I know what I suck at. I know what I'm good at. And I just let it out to the universe. I call it emotional nakedness. So I do my best. I give my best. I help people as much as I can through my podcast, through my business. And it's just this 100% energy that what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do is because who I really am, because I consider myself a Fortune 1 company. Therefore, I have my own mission, my own vision, my own core values. So if you don't align with it, then there's other Fortune 1 companies out there you can join. You're just not going to be my, you know, in my circle. So that's how I look at life. I look at life as I'm one of a kind, just like everybody else. You are unique and you are special. Therefore, know your worth and don't be scared, you know, to just go and take a leap of faith and do something else, because you don't, I'm not going to give the whole speech like you don't grow if you don't do it, but it's like, you never know. You never know. You might like it. You might not like it.
You took messy action. Like, you didn't know, you know, even though you were kind of introduced to business and stuff as a child, you didn't know how that was going to translate over here in America. I mean, the American way is not easy to comprehend. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah. So another thing too, that I'd like to add is I have this attitude that if I fall on my face, I'll like crack my nose or blur, you know, bruise my face, but it's okay. I'll get up, you know, clean the dust and just keep moving, because I also am a little stubborn. Maybe it's the Albanian on me, but I do learn by experience. I can sit here, and I'm also one of those people that I can read a book of like 200 pages and I'll literally remember only like one sentence from the whole book. And that's what I'll take action from. That's how I am. So whenever we have, like, for example, people be like, oh, have you read this book and this book? Or for example, like Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss, people be like, oh, we need to study the book. I'm like, no, my biggest takeaway from it, when he was negotiating with a hostage taker overseas, and he pretty much negotiated that we'll put it on, you know, on media. And he's like, well, never mind. I'm not going to put you on media because that's what you want. So I'm not giving to you what you want. I'm like, that's literally like 2 pages from the whole book. So that's how my brain works. Like, I have to process things differently. And that's how business is too, because me and you can run a business, but the whole perception of us to take things from A to B to C to D, it's very different. It's not the same. And that's why we need to network. And that's why we need to learn how people, you know, process things too, so this way we'd be able to take to play what's the best thing out there. I hope that answers the question.
Yes, no, it totally does. So regardless of what culture you find yourself, regardless of where you're listening to this from, you know, how can you tangibly apply that to who you are and what you do and use it to amplify your unique potential in everything and in every way that you come out and support people? So I would love to know, because sales is not my cup of tea. How did you stumble on sales?
So I started working sales, like I was saying earlier. My dad pretty much had me work sales, like it or not. He would have me call out of school, or he would be like, you have an excused absence, like I need you to do this and that. So I kind of loved it because number one, I could win, I could earn more money, so I could spend it on more stuff. So it'd be above my allowance. And what we used to do is go business to business and pretty much sell like bricks, white cement, any construction items, because back home buildings are very different. They're not like American style. They're like with bricks, with iron, with cement. Like, it's a very different construction. So we used to go. Yeah, we used to, and those are like more fundamental. So like in America, for example, with fires, it's kind of risky because you have wood, you know, wood for like walls. Yeah. Back home, if a fire comes, it's like, no, it's gonna take quite some time to like actually burn down the whole house. So it's a lot of difference in it. It's also considered like a hurricane resistant type of buildings. Like, that's the normal buildings back home. So we used to go business to business and pretty much sell bricks. I remember him having like the very old classic Benz style, and his trunk would be full of different bricks and different tiles and different what do you call this, the ceiling one, the Spanish for the roof?
For the roof, a shingle?
Shingles, there you go. Oh, sorry guys, for a moment here.
Hey, I passed trivia, I did it. I love it.
You got 10 points. but sorry, I still have foreign moments. But he would have on his trunk, he would have bricks, he would have tiles and shingles and different styles. So we used to go business to business and pretty much negotiate, because he would contract with companies in Albania or overseas. And he would say, if you want two, you know, truckloads of this, if you pre-order, you get this much discount. If you prepay the transportation, you get this much. If you pick it up at the port, you get this much. But if you pick it up from my warehouse, this much. So he used to negotiate like that and be able to get that cash flow up front in order to make the orders and be able to manage the money differently, because again, he came from a very, you know, normal family. Like, his parents weren't rich either. So I got the sales from dad, and my mom on the other hand, she was a CPA, CPA. So she had her own clients. She did the auditing with the taxes, all that fun stuff. You know, like she worked as the contractor accountant for this big businesses, which back like the LLC businesses for back home. So kind of fusing all those two together, I'm like, okay, get it. So the numbers are here. I need to be on top of the numbers. The sales negotiation is here. And I need to add my own spice element to it so I feel comfortable with my pitch. And that's how I grew up. So it's not something that I work very hard on. It's something that also comes natural to me. And I understand the struggle because sometimes like sales is super important. Like even when family or friends Absolutely. Are around and they're like, can you call my cable bill? Because they up my monthly. I'm like, I got it. Let me have it.
I love it.
Like I'm the one person stop now that my friends would also be like, can you call this place for me? Because, you know, they up my bill or how do I go about getting a lower price for this? So sales, you can save money on your daily life and on your business, which is important.
Oh, heck yeah. And it's one of those things that so many times people are focusing on doing something special or different, like that maybe is a new skill that they'd have to learn. Whereas if they would just focus on what they're already good at, like that could also be something. Can you share a little bit, like sales isn't necessarily super flashy, but you know, having financial knowledge is very, very attractive in the world that we live in. Like, how was that for you just to embrace something that you already had versus embracing shiny object syndrome? You know, that's kind of plaguing everyone in the online space right now.
So let me just put it this way. Shiny object syndrome is it's going to get dusty after a while if you don't keep shining it. So a lot of people, and this kind of reminds me to something else that I also teach to my students. Whenever you say like, what's your dream car, for example, a lot of people will say a Maserati or a Lambo, but I'm like, okay, but how much is your gas tank is going to take on a weekly basis for that? How much is your insurance going to be for that? How much would your speeding ticket be, knowing your habits on like when you speed up, going to the roots of it? And if you ask me, I'm like, give me a Tundra 1794 and I'm set for life so I can tow my boat. Like it's different. So yes, shiny object syndrome also needs to be kind of faded away because social media, it's affecting a lot on it. And it's making us be like, oh, I want this and I want that. I want to be the YouTube guy on the ads. I'd be like, do you want to do this? I did this by doing this. Click here and buy my $5,000 course. Like, no, you can buy and you can get the best courses out there. You can buy the best books out there. But if your brain is not wired for sales and negotiations, I'm sorry to say, but it's not going to work because sales and negotiation is not just the exchange monetary at the very end of the equation. It's also about building network. It's also about creating relationships. People buy from people they like. They're not going to buy somebody that just because you look pretty, I'm going to buy from you. Like, I'm sorry, like I look awesome, right? I'm really pretty, but people are not going to buy from me just because my eyebrows are really awesome or like just a silly example like that.
Heck
like,
yeah.
You need to understand how to, so this is how I also teach my sales course that I have, is you go from leads, decision makers, pitches, and sales, because you work so much on those lead gens online and people are getting bombarded left and right from email campaigns, from lead gens, from this and that. But it's like, what are you doing to, you know, make yourself be one with a customer? What are you Absolutely. Doing to build a connection with a customer? You're not doing anything. What's your icebreaker? Starting from the beginning, what's your icebreaker? How are you even making sure you're talking to the decision maker? If you have a dual decision maker, why are you skipping the second decision maker? Because that might be the wife and the husband is going to end up sleeping in the couch if he makes a decision by himself. So why are you
can't have that.
I mean, and this is what I say. I say this to people that, you know, I teach. And also whenever I make sales, if they tell me, oh, I have to talk to my wife or a business partner, that's where I say like, well, I'm definitely not going to have you go through a divorce or sleep on the couch. I don't want you to hunt me down, or I'm not going to have your business go bankrupt. So let's go ahead and get that other party involved in the conversation instead of just keening in, because
I love that
sales is turning into so much pressure-y and it's turning into like instant gratification, where a recent survey actually shows that in order for somebody to make a final decision, they have to be fully pitched and introduced with your product at least minimum 7 times. So you're going to give up on the lead just on the first contact, If you are, somebody else next door is working a lot harder than you and is improving themselves to close their lead maybe with three contents instead of one.
And being willing to play the long-term game where the relationships are the main purpose for everything that we do. I love that so much. And Elliot is making himself known on the show, you guys. So yes, welcome to Elliot being featured here.
Elliot is like, I want to close some deals too. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
he's like,
I got the sales, mom. I got the sales. Yeah, they're sold on your cheeks, bud.
You know that babies are also the best salespeople out there though, right?
They're a really great marketing strategy. Trust me, my videos get way more interaction.
Professionals, they're the best sales professionals because they cry and they cry until you feed them. So they close deal every single time.
Every single time. That is a really great way to look at that. It's so funny.
Their conversion is 100%.
Yes. Little side note. He was a NICU child. I had him on Thanksgiving at 31 and 6. And he was always taken care of first in the NICU because he had the loudest cry. So he kind of demanded that. You would be a good salesperson, bud. That is such a fun side note. But I love how you were sharing that. Not only do we have to be like wired to understand the purpose of sales and why it's so important and how we should go about it. But like you said, I think the biggest thing is that if we're focusing on, what we have to gain versus what we are giving, that's really the biggest mistake. And I just had that takeaway as I was listening to you. It's like focusing on what you can give versus what you get. Like, yes, sales is about collecting the money, having them sign the dotted line, you know, having those funds go from, you know, one bank account to the next bank account. Like, absolutely. And every business needs that. So I am not shaming that at all.
At the end of the day, we're in the business because we need the revenue. That's absolutely there. But you also have to be social responsible. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to, because a lot of people too with the sales agents, and I talked to this recently, I actually, with one of my clients, he was telling me, he's like, my sales professionals have been slacking and I have this really great commission structure. So he was breaking it down to me how he pretty much pays the salesperson like continuously for a sale they made like a year ago. And I was like, why do you do that? He's like, because it motivates them. I was like, well, let me explain to you from a sales professional perspective. Mm-hmm. If I know for a fact that in my bank is going to hit $1,000, $2,000 or $3,000 because of previous sales, I know for a fact that I'm not starting with clean slate every month. I know for a fact that I'm starting somewhere. So now I'm not going to work as hard for it to actually get the sales because I have a guarantee money. And you as the business owner are pretty much throwing money in the trash when instead, as sales professionals, because sales professionals get motivated a lot by the compensation commission of it. And I was like, you also need to make sure you hire people that have families, because people that have families, they are the best salespeople, because you will see them grind a lot more because they have a bigger why behind it. Or people that are actually very well driven, those are the people that are going to work a lot harder than the single person that is looking to make a commission and go ahead and get some drinks and have some fun at a barbecue party over the weekend. I'm like, you have to know also who you're going to recruit, because if you recruit the wrong person, you're not going to be able to exceed sales. And another thing too with the salespeople is, if you're not motivated, like if you don't have a family or a big why, or if you don't have like a really good reason why you're grinding, what's going to happen is that whenever you close that deal, you're not going to be present in the moment. In your head, you're going to be like, this commission is this much money. Oh, so now I can take that vacation. I can go out to that bar. I can buy this car. I can do X, Y, or Z. When you're mentally there, but you're like physically there, but not mentally there, and your client sees it. And that's why a lot of deals also end up failing at the very last minute, because you get overly excited about your own commission, but not excited about the customer, what services or products they're going to buy and how that's going to help them long term.
That's so transformational, because people really, if you're thinking about your sales, your numbers, you know, we're almost to the end of the first quarter, right? You know, this is a big deal. Like, looking back and reflecting on what went right, what went wrong, testing, whether it's you or the salespeople that you have in place, keep these things in mind. Like, that is so true. And how easy is it for us to stray from the customer experience to our benefit? It's so easy.
And also, you got to remember that 20% of your sales professionals bring in 80% of your revenue.
And those numbers don't lie, you guys. Those numbers don't lie.
So 20% of your team brings in 80%. So why are you keeping the rest 80%? Do you want your team to be a mediocre team? Do you want your team to just be like a standby team? Why are you not having this 20% off the people? Actually, maybe take them off the phones if they're working for phone sales, or take them off the field if they're working in the field, and have them train the remaining team. But also a lot of businesses are freaked out because this 20% brings in so much revenue that they don't want to lose that revenue. And that's why a lot of really good sales professionals don't end up getting promoted to managers or higher, because they look at how much money the company is going to lose instead of looking at long-term. Like, I can have Justine, for example, she is always in the top five. If I have her train my team can increase, even if increases by 5 to 10%, do the math at the end of the equation. But a lot of businesses also see short-term, not long-term. And unfortunately, that's why salespeople, really salespeople, change positions from time to time, because they always want to get promoted. Majority of them want to get promoted, want to move to a higher level. And that's why they're also ready to take a big pay cut out of their commission just to move to a managerial position. Because sales professionals, like good sales professionals, will take even half of their pay cut to get to a managerial position. And that's why they don't get promoted as easily.
That's so crazy. And the behind the scenes, this is so powerful. And you dropped something too. How many of us are focusing on the short-term gratifications versus the long-term outcome?
Yeah, like, that's unfortunate. That happens a lot.
And whether we're in sales or not, I think that applies to each and every one of us listening today. You know, how does that apply to what it is that you eat? What is it that you, you know, put out as content? What is it that you support your clients with? Like, wow, it's just a really good reminder of what we're doing. And if we're present with our feet and looking to the actual goal, or if we're focused on being comfortable and being like, well, this works, so we're just going to keep it as is. Like, that was an absolute mic drop moment. I need that sound effect. So I can do that for you. That would be so awesome. Well,
another example how I can break down to look at things long-term, for example, is when I first moved to Florida, I was just looking for a position. So I started working as a collector because I was like, I just need a job right now, right? I'm fresh out of the divorce. I'm a mess. I know I can sell. So I'll just work as a collector. And the hardest thing that you want, somebody, like, you know, the most annoying thing is somebody calling you and telling you like, hey, you're late. Like, do you want to pay with card or check? Like, how do you want to pay it?
Right.
So it was just the energy in the whole department was just very low and very frustrating because people would be mad, yelling left and right, you know? So I remember as soon as I hit the floor, my average per hour was like $700, $800 collected per hour. Ooh. When the norm was to like be considered good was $325. So they're like, what, like, how are you making people pay? Yes. So I remember getting the whole department and I did like a huddle and I was like, well, guys, I was like, I'm going to put it to you this way. Why do you work? So you like, you work because you need money, right? Cool. Yep. The company that we work for, it's security services. Sure. So people that were calling is because they're late on security services.
Yeah.
So you think somebody likes being late on their security services system? Do you think somebody's like, forget that. I don't want protection for my house this month. I'm like, people maybe yelled at you because they spilled coffee in their shirt. Their alarm didn't run off. Their wife yelled at them. Their kid frustrated them. If you have kids, you know that feeling. Why are you attacking it from a negative perspective? Why are you not looking at yourself as the mediator in the middle? Put your mediator hat on, your expert hat on.
Yeah.
Mediator in the middle, that you have a very frustrated, you know, household over here. Mm-hmm. And a security system that the bill is late. You're the mediator. You're understanding why they need what they need. You're saving their household. If you talk to them more patiently, maybe you'd be able to bring their bill up to date so their services doesn't get canceled. They don't have a break-in and and end up losing half of the property or something tragic happens. I'm like, you're the mediator. And once people start thinking themselves as the mediator, I mean, our team end up bringing up to $500 collected per hour. So you have to, absolutely. I mean, just think of it, like 12 people with over, you know, $200 per hour collected more. Heck times 40 hours, times, like, you do the math, it's a lot more. Once you also explain to the agent, to the sales agent, to the collector, to your employee, to your hostess at the restaurant, to every single position, once you also explain the big why behind their position, they'll also be able to relate a lot more. And the company's mission and vision and values are actually going to align with them a lot more. So you'll create a small family instead of just an employee that is there to clock in and clock out and just get the paycheck at the end of the week.
Oh, that's so true. And it's one of those things that when we focus on, you know, how our communication and our energy in the room can be so, you know, supportive or negative, or, you know, take away from that opportunity too. That's one of those things that I guess I didn't realize was one of my superpowers. I guess I have good energy, but then it was one of those things that now that I know this, how much more responsible do I have to be because I know this? And, you know, even in your sales, you were like, well, I can pull in $800 an hour, but that's not enough. I'm going to make sure to lift up my team. And so I love that you took that action on yourself, and maybe your leaders asked you to do it. I don't know the story, but you know, it, just if someone else is listening to this today and you realize that you do have something, whether it's in sales, whether it's in your interpersonal communications, it doesn't matter. Find a way to bless other people with that, because you never know what kind of ripples. I mean, like, yeah, we're talking big bucks when at the end of a week, when you guys start increasing by almost, you know, at least a third of what you were doing, you know, let alone that team, and say that mentality gets out to the rest of the team. How incredible could that be for a whole corporation?
I mean, honestly, and yeah, I was the one that I went to my manager. I was like, hey, I would like to talk in the huddle. I have something prepared. Like, here's what it is. And they liked it. So I ended up giving like huddles in every single team. And we had like 12 teams at the time, 11 so or cool. 12 teams. But also another thing too, like I mentioned earlier, is that I'm the kind of person that I'll just go for it. So if I fall on my face, then it's fine. Like, you know, just pat it a little bit and we'll be fine.
Wipe it off and keep going.
Exactly. And if you have an idea, like whoever's listening, if you have an idea, if you have a thought, if you think your idea is brilliant, maybe it's not, because we all think our ideas are brilliant, but the only way how to find it is if you take action on it, because you might be having the next Jeff Bezos idea, or you might be having the next most brilliant idea. And if you don't do nothing for it, then somebody else one day is going to come and come up with that idea. You'd be like, darn it, I wish I took action on it. And what's the worst that's going to happen? It's going to say a no. Cool. No means next.
Yes.
Like no means next. Get that stamped in your brain.
I love that. And someone else said no means not now as well, because so many times
not now,
even on like the sales calls, you know, it's like, you know, nope, I'm not ready to buy in. And then next month they're like, nope, it's not a good month, but maybe the third month.
Yeah.
I saved up for this. I want to upgrade my cable, my internet, my this, my that, you know, I'm ready to do that. Like that's the cool power of realizing that you own the perspective that you choose to look through life with. And if you harness the energy behind it, then you can use that as a force for good to be laserly powerful and regardless of whatever it is. So I love that. So tell me a little bit more, Romina. You help people with their podcasts, you help people get their messages out, but you also do it in a very tactful way. Podcasts are not only like, I personally believe, like one of the latest crazes, because now everyone's working from home. They're like, oh, I should just start a podcast. But like, how do you do it in a way that not only creates profit, like we talked sales, margin, all that kind of stuff, but also a way that magnifies their message and really gets people connected to the right network? You're all about connection. So I'm so grateful to have you in mind. But like, how do you do this for your clients? And share a little bit of behind the scenes so that people can get to know you.
Absolutely. So I want to actually get started to why even start a podcast. I hated my job. I keep applying to get promoted and I wouldn't. And when I would ask for feedback, say, hey, like, what did I do wrong in this interview? Can you please give me direct feedback so I can grow myself? I can improve myself. And I would not get feedback. So I'm like, I'm sure there's somebody else out there that went through this. So I'm going to start reaching out to my LinkedIn connections and just kind of, you know, ask them questions. But I was like, who in the heck is going to take their time to talk to me? And I keep listening to podcasts. So I came up with this brilliant idea of naming my podcast RM Podcast. And like, that wasn't silly enough. I added FL at the end. Well, little did I know that was the lamest name ever out there. But because of the mission, because I started asking, and this was coming from a very curious mindset, and this was coming from having a lot of connections and seeing like what my friendship circle would struggle with, for example, or what the, you know, what the online media would put out there. Doing a lot of research, I always like watching documentaries of both perspectives, like a big yes and a big no, and just kind of making my own decision after it. So I decided to bring this questions to the table with professionals of different careers. So I say the podcast is about business and life, because as much as you try to separate it, at the end of the day, you are one person. Because if your professional life is going really well, well, your personal life is going to go well. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, if your personal life is going poo-poo, then your professional life is going to be affected. It just, mm-hmm. you are one person. Even though leave the problems at the door, it's not a real thing. And you spend most of your awakening hours at work. So why not mm-hmm. make the best synchronization you can make between these mm-hmm. two lives? Even though I don't believe work-life balance exists out there, especially mm-hmm. with everything going on, but at least try to find the best medium.
That's amazing. So let's talk about that. It's so funny because I was going to ask you about it. That's one of my notes for today. And I would love to just get your sight on it. So what I call it and how I work with clients on it is called work-life or life-work integration. Mm-hmm. And I say life first because I think life is more important. If you didn't work another day in your life and you were set for life, I could care less. But if you didn't live another day in your life,
yeah,
that I would not ever encourage or condone that, because if we're not living, what are we? And I believe with every heartbeat, we have a purpose. And so I would love to hear, you know, from the roller coaster of a ride that you've been on, you know, how do you establish your priorities to make sure that you're showing up as the best version of you for your clients? Because, you know, that's such a selfish looked at perspective, stigma wise, you know, and I don't know if it's the same, where you're from, but I would love your insight, you know, even in the cultural difference, like how that has affected you from where you grew up and what you do to make it your own.
Yeah. So it kind of synchronizes really good with monetization of the podcasting too, because after, you know, having the podcast for a while, I mean, as of today, we launched the 100th episode, like we were talking earlier. We have so much content. We have like months ahead of content because I put in that work. So for me to find that best integration of life work balance, and also best integration to see if me and a client would work good, because my guests turn to my clients once they know exactly what I do more. Yep. So that's a really great method that I use, because I would get straight away to the decision maker. I'm not talking to the secretary. I'm not talking to a gatekeeper. I'm talking to a decision maker, because I'm interviewing the decision maker. That's how I would be able to convert those to, you know, contracts later. But I'm a big believer in energy alignment, and I'm a big believer on making sure that me and you match really good, because you can, and I've turned down clients before for this, because there would be some of the people that I, you know, the reason why I left the corporate world. I didn't leave the corporate world to work a corporate work life on my own house. I need to go by energy. And it might sound silly to some people, they're not very spiritual, but you need to make sure that you both look at things again from inside out, look at it long-term, be able to have an open communication with one another, I'm very coachable as a person, and I need my client to be very coachable too, because that's the only way how I'd be able to work very good together. Exactly. And even with my clients, I tell them, like, hey, for example, I'm going to go out of town soon. So I tell them, this week, do not contact me. I'll be out of town. Send me everything you have this date so I can finish it by this day. And they know not to contact me, because, again, kind of going back to the life work integration balance. You also have to find what's the best thing that works for you to have your relaxing and peaceful moment. My small runaways are watching sunsets. I'll stay there, watch a sunset, you know, be by myself. Sometimes my family's like, how are you not scared by yourself? I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I love hanging out with myself. I'm pretty cool. So I just love doing that. So or good. If you need a longer, you know, break, a longer recharging of the battery, you can take little small trips. You can have a full spa day. If you cannot afford a full spa day, a walk at a park and a new hike around your neighborhood. It's actually very cheap to do. You can just buy at Goodwill a $5, you know, picnic basket. You can go ahead and make some sandwiches and put a blanket on the floor and just enjoy nature and sit there. Because you can do so many things.
Can we go on a picnic, Romina? I want to go on a picnic with you. That would be so much fun. When I get to Florida, I tell you what.
Yes. And just go ahead and try to hunt around, like, what areas in your neighborhood are also on your cities, in your city. Like, the last unfortunately, my grandma passed away in December. My dad, for example, just had cancer, so he had to have a major surgery. Mm-hmm. And I like did everything for them, you know, try to be as strong as I could. And I just hit a breaking point. And I just booked myself a hotel in Daytona, stayed there for 2 days, took myself on dates, watched a bike race, did silly things. And I came back and I was like, okay, I'm good. Let's hit it. Let's go. What we're doing.
You knew yourself. That's so incredible.
Once you get to know yourself, and it also, like I mentioned earlier, once you get to know your insecurities, your weak points, your strong points, once you get to know yourself, you can take yourself out of an equation for a second to recharge yourself and come back with good energy or even stronger. But a lot of people are scared to admit it, or a lot of people play the victim. It's like, no, we all are a victim one way or another of the circumstances. But it's like, what do you do with that?
Absolutely.
I know the answer was kind of like all over there, but
It was all over there, but it was all over here. Like where it was, it's such a, you know, it's not just a one way fits all. And I think that that's why I love asking people that question when they're on my show, because it's not a one size fits all. It's not going to be the same for you as it is for me. I have two little kids. My life work balance is different. It looks different. It is different. And there's nothing wrong with that, but to be empowered by what works for you and to know your worth behind what you do and just be about your business, be about your purpose, be about your why. That's the most liberating thing. I absolutely love that. So as we're wrapping up this episode, Romina, 2020 really slammed a lot of people hard.
Yeah.
You definitely have, in my humble opinion, mastered the perspective of looking at how life can be for you in all areas and circumstances, regardless of what it puts in front of you. It's always for me. What would be one or two tangible ways for someone to go from the lack of that perspective to having that perspective as well?
So my business actually started in 2020 because I was working as a marketing project manager and I was putting, live conferences. I was the chief editor for a magazine, putting their monthly magazine together, doing the newsletter and making sure we had enough contributors, you know, all that fun stuff.
Sure.
So we just had, I just had this brilliant idea. I was like, we're going to change the magazine around. We're going to do cross puzzles for Real Estate World. Like so many great ideas.
That's awesome.
And then one day I get a phone call. It's like, I'm sorry, we have to let you go because COVID. So that was fun. But here's the thing, you guys, it's okay to cry. Like 24 hours after that, I was like the most poopy person ever that you did not want to be around. It's okay. You have to let those feelings get out. Or like my grandma says, you know, sad tears, like cry if you're sad, because you leave space for happy tears, which is something cheesy, but I love it. So
yes, I love your grandma. Oh, that's so sweet.
But once you have those big, like, boom, like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Don't make a decision on high emotions. Just sit on it.
Ooh, that's tangible, guys. I hope you were listening to that one. Don't make decisions on high emotions.
Just sit there, because your brain and your heart are not balanced and they're going to be fighting a lot. You'll be like, I can do this. I can do this. Oh no, but I feel sad. Oh, I can do this, but I feel sad. So let those feelings process and give yourself 24 hours. That's all you take. Put your big panties up, you know, go ahead and just do it. 24 hours. That's all you take. You can stay in bed. You go Netflix, binge watch Netflix. You can go out of town, do whatever you want. 24 hours. That's all you get. As long as you don't do something illegal, then we're good.
So, yes, be good.
24 hours. And then once you let those process, go ahead and try to see like, okay, if I was to still have this job, just assume like nothing has changed. Am I really happy doing that? What do I really want to do? A lot of people pivoted in 2020 because they finally got let go of a job that they've been hating for a while and decided to make a leap of faith. So in 2020, the gig economy actually boomed a lot. A lot of businesses, a lot of solopreneurs. And I love this quote. It says, if 2020 didn't bring the hustle out of you, it's not in you. So those big life event change moments, those are what's going to make you or break you. You're either going to go downhill or uphill. So give yourself enough time to process your feelings and then assume you have all the capital in the world. Nothing is stopping you. What are you going to do? Are you going to still do what you what you're doing, or are you going to do something different? If you want to do something different, then write down a plan. I mean, I have a whiteboard which is full of writing all the time. Write down a plan. It's a puzzle. To get to 1,000 piece puzzle, you need those 1,000 pieces to go in the right place. Sometimes you put it in the wrong place, but you learn through the process. So you have to start small, and also ask for help. Honestly, a lot of people have such a pride and such an ego that it's like, I got this. If somebody wants to launch a podcast, and if they're like, Romina, I just cannot afford it, but I really want to launch a podcast and I have an idea, can you please help me? I will be the person to be like, yes, let's do it. I will give you 1 hour of my time, but I want you to come up with at least 10 questions. This is why
I love for you guys. Oh, I love this.
I need you to come up with at least 10 questions. So this way I know that you're really, truly devoted to it.
Yes.
And if I do a follow-up with you, and if you don't have questions from our meeting, then you just wasted my time. So you can, when people actually see true passion and true dedication and see that you're serious, you would be surprised. I've got coaching, one-on-one coaching from hostage negotiators, because I really wanted to learn more on high intense crisis negotiating. And they saw my passion. I had pre-built questions. I pitched them. I did everything that I was supposed to do, treated like a business transaction. And I said, I would love for this. And what can I do for you to help you on this? I just cannot afford your fee right now. What can I do for this? So he took 45 minutes of his time and he went everything one by one, and he still follows up with me.
That's
so
incredible.
People that see passion, like, they will help you, you guys.
Yep. That's so incredible. And I think that, you know, even for us too, you know, if we're in a place where we could be the blessing to someone else, challenge us to leave the ladder down. How are we showing up for people? How are, you know, if you're maybe not in the podcasting industry like Romina, but maybe you're in HR, you know, what kind of availability are you, you know, putting out there to create that value ladder that helps people up and brings people up? Because 2020 knocked you down, but there's no excuse to stay down.
People's LinkedIn. I mean, for 3 years now, I lead an HR group for Florida State College of Jacksonville, where I organize the events. Now it's virtual. Before, it used to be in person. I deal with SHRM, Society of Human Resource Management, all the time. People don't even have an idea that I'm also involved in the HR world. But if you check the people's LinkedIn, you would be able to know. So you can be like, hey, Romina, how did you move from being a student to launching a business? Why are you still a student, and how you're making this money? Why are you still haven't graduated? Because you need a degree. I can tell you how. Number one, if you're a student, make a business card. Even if it's a student, just make a business card, get the simplest website out there, and just, even on LinkedIn, your research papers that go for school, put it as an article on LinkedIn. So people will get to know you. People will get to know how you process things. So there's so many ways you can promote yourself out there, but people are either not asking or being lazy, or they just don't know where to start and what to do. So reach out
to
somebody.
Analysis paralysis. Got to break it. And it starts to be broken when you take action. Imperfect and messy doesn't stop you from sharing your message. And that's what we're all about. Romina, I am so excited that we got to have this conversation. And I hope that each and every one of you was taking notes, because I'm going to have to listen to this a couple of times, because this was so amazing. Romina, where can they follow you? Where can they get more of your goodness in their life and businesses as well?
Absolutely. So everywhere, it's Connect with Romina. My name is spelled R-O-M-I-N-A. You can find me on all social handles, Connect with Romina. My website is connectwithromina.com. And my podcast name is Coffee with Romina. I love coffee. I consider it having a coffee with a friend or a professional and getting to those nitty gritty and juicy questions. So you can find me anywhere, really. Connect with Romina.
Oh, I love that. And connecting with you is one of the best things that ever happened to me. So thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. And be sure to tune in for more here at Virtually Limitless. Have a great day, you guys.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.